Today's broadcast is brought to you by ClassicBaseballBroadcasts.com, your one-stop destination for thousands of authentic, vintage radio game broadcasts, interviews and highlights, Red Barber, Mel Allen, Vin Scully, Ernie Harwell, Kurt Godey, are just a few of the Ford Frick Award-winning voices. There are hundreds more that will bring back childhood memories from back in the day when the game was always on. From the crack of the bat, to the roar of the crowd, relive the moments that made Baseball America's favorite pastime. Get started for free and step back in time listening to baseball's greatest moments.
Step up to the plate and relive the golden age of baseball. We are so excited to introduce Classic Baseball Broadcast, your future destination to relive in original broadcast format the most iconic games, legendary calls, and timeless moments from baseball history. Whether you're a diehard fan or just discovering the roots of the game, everything you need, because we have a treasure chest of baseball's greatest stories told by the folks who were there. Go ahead and visit ClassicBaseballBroadcast.com today. Sign up for free, and let's keep the spirit of America's pastime alive, one inning at a time.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Fenway Park.
At Mark Spidrich. Now, each time he gets the ball back, you'll see him mumble a couple of words to the ball.
The first man ever to pitch five career no-hitters.
Catch a ball, two.
I don't believe what I just saw.
It's another chance for Mitchell, and he makes a fair-handed catch.
Ricky goes, a pitch stick, and he's going to have it. Leaps high in the air, and he's got it. An incredible catch by the kid.
And let it be said that number eight, Cal Ripken Jr., has reached the unreachable star.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we invite you to rise.
Hey, fans, welcome to the Daily Rewind. My name's Tom Hannon, and I'm your host. The Daily Rewind is brought to you by ThisDayInBaseball.com. ThisDayInBaseball.com is a treasure chest full of baseball events. We bring you everything from the thrill of victory to the agony of defeat in every milestone and oddball event you could ever imagine. I'm surprised every day at the events I find on ThisDayInBaseball.com. And it's more than just a written word. We have thousands of videos, audio, images to go with all the stories. Today's episode is about March 21st, 1975, when Hall of Fame outfielder Joe Ducky Medwick dies in St. Petersburg, Florida, at the young age of 63. He was one of the feared hitters on the famed Gashouse Gang St. Louis Cardinals. Medwick clubbed 205 home runs and batted 324 over a 17-year career. Medwick was the last National League Triple Crown winner in 1937, and his beaning was a catalyst for what eventually became a batting helmet. Medwick will gain election into baseball's Hall of Fame in 1968. Now here's an interview from 1968 with Joe Ducky Medwick. Enjoy.
This is an interview with Joe Medwick, held February 8th, I guess it is, 1968. Mr. Medwick, or Joe, or Ducky, what do you prefer that I call you?
It doesn't make any difference. Whichever comes into your mind. I haven't called everything but late for breakfast.
We want to go back a good many years to 1934, originally, and then we'll get into some other conversation. And we want to talk about that famous vegetable patch that you found yourself in the middle of. What really caused it? Did you really tear into third a little harder than you had to?
Well, it was no different slide than I've been using all my life. And this happened in the seventh inning of the last game of the World Series in Detroit. And Frisch was on first base, and I hit this ball into right center field, and it ricocheted off the right field wall. And as I passed shortstop, I was watching my coach, who was then Mike Gonzalez, giving me the stand-up sign, which means there was no play and I wasn't going to attempt to score. And as I kept getting closer to third base, I noticed Marvin Oon, who was then the third baseman for Detroit, straddling third base. And as I came closer to third base, he made a tag at me, and with that I slid pretty viciously, I presume, and rolled him over, and we swung at each other. No one hit each other, but it was one of those plays at the spur of the moment. And after the inning was over, I went into left field, and I don't know where they got this stuff, but they threw this stuff for about 34 minutes, and the game couldn't continue. So the commissioner called us in front of his box and asked me if I slid into him deliberately, which I said I didn't. It was part of my slide. And he asked Marvin Owen something, which I didn't hear what he said. And after 34 minutes, he decided that it would be better to take me out of the ball game so as it could continue, which I think he did right. But the only thing I felt about it was if two men were supposed to participate in the fight, they should both be ejected. As it was, I was ejected. I still had one more time to go to bat, and at that time, 11 hits was a record, which I had had. And I had another chance to go to bat, and I will never know whether I would or I wouldn't got a base hit, but he did the right thing.
You didn't think so at the time. We have pictures that you were mad as a wet hornet going back to the showers.
Well, this is true because I came to play. I didn't come to be put out of the game. But if the game would not continue, that means that the home club would have to forfeit the game, and it's easier to eject one man from the game to have it continue.
You had the nickname Ducky before that. You wasn't from ducking those vegetables.
No, this had nothing to do with it. This was given to me while I was playing in Houston many, many years ago. They had a contest down there naming players. And we played a lot of night baseball in Houston. And they had this contest, and some young girl saw me on Galveston Beach, and she combined both. She said, he swims like a duck and walks like a duck, so she combined them and used the word Ducky Wucky, which she won the contest with.
Well, you don't mind it, but some people might, I guess, huh?
No, I've been called a lot of worse things, so Ducky Wucky is not a bad name.
How long had you been a St. Louis Cardinal by the 34th series? Were you in the 31 series?
No, I joined the Cardinals in 1932, the fall of 32, and I played 32 games with them. And then I was with the Cardinals up to the time I was traded to Brooklyn. And I feel very, very happy to start my career with the Cardinals and finish my career with the Cardinals.
You're working for the Cardinals now?
Yes, I am working for the Cardinals as the batting instructor for the minor leagues.
You have some boys. You're just starting this now, or you have been doing it?
I have been doing this for 2 years, and now I am going on a full-time basis. We do have some good-looking boys. They're a number of years away, but I have worked with most of these boys that have come to the Cardinals and stayed.
I was going to ask if some of your boys were up there now.
Yes, we had Spezio. We had Savage, of course. He was traded, and we had Williams, who was traded. And I worked with Tolan, and we had Johnson, who was traded. But these boys, for some unknown reason, didn't fit into our plan, so we have others.
You were recognized very recently by the National Baseball Hall of Fame, a little belatedly, perhaps. It's been a good many years since you played your last game as a major leaguer, hasn't it?
Yes, 48 was my last game in the major leagues.
I didn't read the citation. What was the reason given for your election at this time?
Well, why I was put in, I presume because I earned it. I had a batting average of .324 over a period of 17 years, and the records that Hornsby doesn't have or Musil don't have, I have with the Cardinals, so I think I deserved it.
I wasn't questioning if you deserved it. I was wondering why it took them so long to catch up with it.
Well, this was the feeling of the sport writers, and they finally got together and gave me the sufficient three-quarter votes, and I'm very happy and proud that they did put me in.
Now, you're going to have to pose for a sculpture, if selected an artist, I think?
No, they use a baseball picture of you. You forward it to Cooperstown, and the sculpture will work off this picture.
And that's just going to be a headshot, and you're not going to be holding a cabbage.
No, this will be a shot from your hips and your face facing forward.
Do you still look like your pictures? I've forgotten. Well, youthful thing. You haven't changed very much.
No, I haven't changed very much, but I want to use a picture that I used or that I had in the early part of my life, And I did send a number of pictures to Cooperstown, and I will let the artist select the one that he seems to think will be the best picture or the sculpture.
Was part of your eclipse, let's call it, because with that fantastic batting average, you weren't elected previously, and perhaps you were thought of in terms of part of an unofficial organization.
I don't understand what you mean by that. I'd rather not go into this. You're trying
what
to...
What I'm saying is that you were part of the Gas House Gang.
Oh, yes. In that respect, yes, I've had the privilege of playing with this great bunch of men. They were a very, very explosive bunch of men, and they never knew the word defeat. And we were 6.5 games out on Labor Day the year we won the pennant, and we come from behind and not only win the pennant but the World Series.
Were the Dean brothers quite as colorful as we've read about them since?
Well, yes, they were very colorful. They won 59 games during the season and then 4 in a World Series, so they couldn't have been too bad.
Well, I know they were great baseball players, but did they pull quite the outlandish stunts that Stockton and others have painted them?
Yes, like I say, they were very, very colorful. In fact, the whole team was colorful, and I'm repeating myself, they were an explosive club. You never knew what they were going to do anywhere.
Who was up there with the explosions besides the Dean? The DeRocher?
Well, Pepper Martin was usually the one who was the most explosive. For example, you might be sitting in a lobby reading a newspaper and it put a match in the middle of it and it would naturally burn a hole out. Or he would sit in a lobby. We would be sitting in a lobby and he might drop some sneezing powder into the lobby and he'd have everybody sneezing. Or he might put a buzz bomb on somebody's car. I mean... we had a lot of playful moments, but when we got on the field, we come to play.
Who else was part of that gang, the Deans? And
well, Rip Collins was on first base. Frisch was on second. DeRocher was short. Pepper Martin was third. Bill Delancey was the catcher. I played left field. Ernie Orsetti played center field, and Jack Rothrock played right field. And then, of course, our pitching staff were the Dean boys, Bill Hallahan, Bill Walker, Dazzy Vance, Jess Haynes, Tex Carlton, and Jim Mooney.
Gosh, that's almost a who's who of baseball, isn't
well,
it?
There were quite a bunch of boys. Mr. Rickey did a great job when he assembled this bunch together because this was not done overnight. It had to be done over a period of time.
A lot of those folks went on to managerial posts and the like, did they not?
Well, Frisch did, DeRocher did, Spud Davis did. Rip Collins was in baseball with the Cubs, and that would just about make it.
Was DeRocher as lippy in those days?
Oh, yes. If you took that away from him, you couldn't use the word lippy. But he's quite a manager, and he's doing a wonderful job for the Cubs in Chicago.
Now, you're not exclusively a baseball man today. You have other interests in a business way?
Well, yes. I am connected with an insurance firm in St. Louis. I have had radio programs on KMOX in St. Louis. I do work with Art Gaines Baseball School. I make personal appearances, and then I worked with St. Louis University for 6 years, and now I am working with the Cardinals full-time.
Outside of that, you loaf.
That's right.
Thank you. Anything you want to add about the Hall of Fame? Or?
Well, I'm very, very appreciative of the sport writers electing me to the Hall of Fame. It naturally completes my career. There isn't anything that could have happened in baseball that didn't happen to me, and this climaxed it.
And what do you think about this new little
replica here, the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame? You haven't seen it yet, but...
I haven't seen it, but I understand it's in the infancy stages, but it is growing very nicely.
Well, it's a beautiful job, you know, artistically.
Well, again, I haven't seen it, so...
Cooperstown looks sad, but, of course, it's got a lot of tradition to earn yet.
Of course, I never pass an opinion before I see it.
Right. I hope you will come down. Thank you very much.
Okay.
That was an awesome interview. The interview of Joe Ducky Medwick was conducted by the St. Louis Cardinals in St. Louis, Missouri on February 8, 1968. And you can find this interview at collection.baseball.org at the Baseball Hall of Fame website's digital collection. And you can actually sponsor this content as well on their site. That's one of the cool things about the Baseball Hall of Fame is they actually put it out to the fans where you can sponsor the content so you can help them preserve it. It's a really cool feature. And if you want to learn more about Ducky Medwick, check out his page on thisdayinbaseball.com. There's a link in the show notes. We have countless information there about Medwick, the teams he played on, seasons, and much more. Today alone, for March 21st, there are 52 events. If you were to go on the March 21st page on thisdayinbaseball.com, 46 birthdays, 16 passings, and much more. You can also sign up for our updates, and you can talk baseball with fans just like you in our forums. So go on to thisdayinbaseball.com and check it out. And I just want to thank you again for joining me today on the Daily Rewind. And if you enjoyed the show, I have two asks. One, sharing is caring. The way shows like mine grow is if you tell friends. And if you're enjoying the show, please tell your friends. Tell them verbally, share it on social media, share it in forums. We just appreciate the support so we can help grow the show and grow the audience because we love bringing you this content. Secondly, please subscribe to the show and you're going to get the new content every single time it comes out. And if you have any feedback you'd like to give me, you can reach me directly at tbinbb@gmail.com. I'm Tom Hannon, and thank you again for joining me today on the Daily Rewind. We'll be seeing you at the ballpark. I'm out. Peace. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed that and I'm glad you stuck around to the end. And I just wanted to credit those audio sources that all the credits are in the show notes as well as a link to all the audio libraries. As a quick reminder, the best way to stay connected with us is just to sign up for the daily newsletter. The daily newsletter has trivia, quotes, link to today's podcast, history, and much, much more. Everything is in the show notes. Just click away and enjoy. And I hope to see you at a ballpark real soon.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by ClassicBaseballBroadcasts.com, your one-stop destination for thousands of authentic, vintage radio game broadcasts, interviews and highlights, Red Barber, Mel Allen, Vin Scully, Ernie Harwell, Kurt Godey. Are just a few of the Ford Frick Award-winning voices. There are hundreds more that will bring back childhood memories from back in the day when the game was always on. From the crack of the bat to the roar of the crowd, relive the moments that made baseball America's favorite pastime. Get started for free and step back in time listening to baseball's greatest moments.